Now we've just passed Christmas, and you know, one of the things that I noticed as we this year, and I guess it's maybe all the time, but I noticed, you know, there are these Christmas specials that seem like they go on forever. You know, they start somewhere around Thanksgiving, and this year they went into the new year a little ways. I noticed. And, you know, there's some of the old traditional, we got White Christmas and A Christmas Story and It's a Wonderful Life. Those that, you know, people would be disappointed if they weren't played somewhere along the line during Christmas. And then you got some new shows and some made-for-TV ones and then some other movies that come on that had to deal with the Christmas theme. And, of course, any situation comedy that ever had a Christmas show, they show that one. And how many times during the Christmas season did you see the Andy Griffith one, you know, with the that was the Christmas one that they did, the only Christmas one they ever did, which one of my favorites, actually. But anyway, we look at all those Christmas stories, but there is one that's a classic. In fact, it's one that's been used over and over again. It's one that, again, the situation comedies have used to death, and has many other people. And of course, that's A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. First it was a book, of course, then it was a movie, and then constantly people play off and use off that term, that whole concept and an idea of the Christmas Carol. But it reminded me how much of an impression the classic Christmas tale has on all of us. You know, the very name of the chief character has become a part of our vocabulary, hasn't it? You know, anyone who is stingy, who is a sourpuss at Christmas is known as a Scrooge. You know? And on the other hand, how many boys, though, do you know that's been named Ebenezer? Huh? Well, despite this Scrooge legacy, the name Ebenezer has a glorious legacy. In fact, one of the great hymns uses that term in a strange line that practically nobody understands. Come thou fount of every blessing. Remember that hymn? I'm going to do the verses here. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Wonderful old hymn. But in that hymn, it mentions Ebenezer. But how many people who have ever sung that song, or who have ever even sung that verse, knows what the world is talking about when it talks about the Ebenezer? I doubt very few people do. Probably many places they don't even include that verse because they don't know what it means. Now we're going to find out before this evening is over what that verse means and why it's a great hallmark for us. It comes from a verse, Old Testament verse, 1 Samuel 7:12. And I hope after this evening, that if you're overwhelmed by life or you're feeling discouraged at any time, if things aren't going right for you, your life is not working, that you can say this strange word and you'll have this great sense of peace that'll come over you and your life. You know, let me read the Old Testament verse and then explain a bit of the story behind it and then show why it's such an important one for us today. 1 Samuel 7:12 says, "And Samuel took up a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, Thus far as has the Lord helped us." It was over 1,100 years before the time of Jesus when this particular moment occurred. The people of Israel had conquered much of the promised land, but it hadn't been easy. The infant nation was still surrounded by many powerful nations. And in fact, 20 years before this text, one of the darkest days in ancient Israel happened. In a single day, Israel had not only suffered a terrible military defeat, but it also had lost the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's presence among them. And it was the worst disaster imaginable that they had lost the Ark. But nothing was the same again. And so this terrible memory of that day would continue to discourage this nation for a whole generation. 20 years later, Samuel, this great prophet of the nation, he calls a meeting of the nation's leaders. He tells them that if they want to experience the blessings of God, that they need to return in their faith to Him. And times have been hard, but they would never be any better if they did not turn back to God. And the entire nation responded positively. And at Mizpah, the nation gathered in prayer and to seek God's blessing. And just at that moment, the Philistine army, this dreaded enemy of theirs, saw an opportunity to attack Israel's warriors while they were in prayer. Similar to what Israel's enemies did during the time of the Yom Kippur War. But Samuel learns of this treachery. And so the soldiers form a battle line. The Philistines are turned back in defeat. There's a great victory here for Israel. And to mark the occasion, this great military victory on this particular day, and their great return to their faith, Samuel raises this memorial marker. And from that day on, whoever saw that marker would be reminded of the great events of that day. And Samuel gave the marker a name. He called it Ebenezer, which means the help of the Lord, or thus far has the Lord helped us. You know, and I look at the history of just this congregation. And in existence for a decade, we've had our ups and downs. We've had some wonderful moments, and we've had some moments not so wonderful. But we haven't come through the 20 years of spiritual despair or survive a great military battle like Israel did, but we have been through some adventures in this last decade. Likewise, many of you have been through your share of hard days and your long nights. Today, we could use a memorial like Samuel's. It wasn't a memorial of their hard times or even of their most recent victories. It was a memorial to God's faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. And here we raise our Ebenezer because thus far has the Lord helped us. You know, that's a reminder we could all use, you know. Israel didn't need a memorial to tell them about the tough times they've been through. After all, they'd experienced them. You know, you don't need a memorial to your loss and your grief. Some things you never forget. The ancient Israelites weren't likely to forget this 20 years of discouragement. Memory is an amazing thing. You know, the psychologist tells us that we never really forget anything. Now, I could challenge that probably on many occasions now. And even when we go through look through our material later this evening in our study time, I'm going to show you mistakes I made because I couldn't remember that's from the beginning of the sentence to the end of the sentence what I was going to say. So I got some corrections to me. But they say it's all in there, that we file that away. That we have, it's just a matter of being able to recall it here from our memory banks. Now, many of us, though, are, you know, who have gotten some snow on their roofs, or some of us who have hard tops, are a lot like the little old lady who is visiting her minister. He reminded her that at her age, that it was important to start thinking about the hereafter. Oh, I do, he said. I think about it all the time. Why, just this morning I went down to the basement, And no sooner did I get down there than I said to myself, what am I here after? Ever had that moment? I have a lot of those now. It's good that we forget some things. That's part of our created survival mechanism. You know, doctors say that Private Jessica Lynch, the young soldier who was wounded, captured, and abused during the days of the Iraqi war, has no recollection of the time between her capture and her rescue, and that's good. That's probably very good. You know, it is a gift of God that some of the memories of the hardest times fade away so quickly. But we never forget most of the really important things in life. Even when the memories start to grow dim, there are always lots of memorials to bring this back to our recall. You know, that's why we discover about the death of a loved one. We forget some of the difficult days. The grief may not be as deep or the tears as heavy as they once were, but we don't forget. Now, we don't want to. We shouldn't. And we never will. You know, we have plenty of memorials to remind us of the one that we love so deeply and who was gone before we were ready. And of course, there is a cemetery marker. It may be a simple monument with a few words on it, but it is a memorial of something far greater. You know, a life that is lived, the memories that were shared, a love that will last forever. But the stone monument pales in comparison to the other memorials that take place in our lives. You know, like our last conversation or our last embrace that will be forever etched into our memories. The hospital room, the bedroom, or the last resting place has taken on sacred proportions because of those special memories. Even this or another place where the funeral service was held brings back many memories of tears that have been shed, that encouragement that is received, and comfort that has been extended. Our memorials are not all about the places of grief. You know, most of them are the living places, our homes, our cars, our living rooms, all those places that we spent much time with. Loved ones that just jog our memories, you know. Special days are never forgotten, you know. The birthdays, anniversaries, all types of events that will never again just be the days on a calendar. They are memorials of a life that has been shared. The people, the friends that are part of the loved one's life become memorials. The best friend, the co-worker, the doctor, or the nurse who gave special measure of care, the neighbors who brought food or flowers or who were just there. All these important memorials bring back memories of good things that happened in the midst of some of the worst times that we have ever experienced. These are memorials. Israel didn't need a memorial to remind them of what they had been through any more than you did. But they did need a special reminder of something that can too easily get lost in the dark. And that was the memorial that Samuel raised before them that day. And the song says it well. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. The memories of the hard times remain. Now, so can the memory of God's faithfulness. Now, that was Samuel's challenge. He wanted his people to not only remember what they had been through, he wanted them to never forget what God had seen them through. And so that's my call for you this evening. May our memorials be to a God whose greatness and goodness has sustained us every step of our way. And will in the future. That's why the memorial was named Ebenezer. Thus far has God helped us. Now, God has helped you. He was helping you in the good times. He granted you laughter and joy. He was helping you share those good times. He helped you to remember them. He was with you in the hard times. Oh, how hard those dark days would have been if he had not been there lifting you up. He is the one who sends friends with kind words and warm embraces. He gives you the strength you need when you need it. He is here even when you don't think you can handle another disappointment. Why do we know? Because He helped you before. And so here we raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, God has helped us. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a story. Tells of a passenger ship that's crossing the Atlantic, and it encouraged this harsh storm that threatened to overwhelm the ship. And the captain ordered the passenger below while the crew battled the storm above. And at one point, the passengers grew impatient that they hadn't heard a word from the bridge in the longest time. And finally, a volunteer ventured out to see how things were going. And after a short time, he came back to the huddled passengers there. And they said, "Did you see the captain? What did he say? Are we going to make it?" And the messenger responded, "I didn't talk to the captain, but I saw him. He looked at me and smiled. All is well. And that's enough." You know, in the midst of our difficulties, the God of heaven smiles. The storm still rages, but God smiles. All is well. And so here we raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, the God has helped us. Old Testament Psalm sang of this, Psalm 121, says, "I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Beautiful psalm. A beautiful psalm. Poet Annie Johnson Flint has a poem that I have used on several occasions. It says this: "God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love." Here we raise our Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Maybe you've attended a funeral where someone had served in the military, and they conclude the service with the taps. Familiar tune to those who had served in the military at the time of the close of the day. You probably know the tune. You're probably familiar with the tune. But you probably don't know the words. These are the words: "Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest, God is nigh." That's the memorial we need. You know, God is nigh. He has not abandoned us. He was with us. In the valley of the shadow of death, He will be with us in our future, and that's a truth that we must never forget. And that's a precious promise that we must memorialize for the next generation and the one after that, that here we raise our Ebenezer. Thus far the Lord has helped us. You know, we gather often to remember things. We sit around and talk about stories from the past, our experiences that we all bring with us. And it's good to share those things. We talk about the stories and the history of the past here and the things that we've gone through here among us in this particular congregation. And there's some wonderfully enriching stories. It's been a marvelous thing. It's good to remember. It's good to share. But we all need to remember, of course, is God's faithfulness to us all up to this point in our life. Here we raise our Ebenezer. Here in this place this evening, we can say, thus far, God